It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Algeria will play Senegal in Friday's Africa Cup of Nations football final in Cairo, Egypt. The Desert Foxes of Algeria advanced to the title match thanks to a superb late free kick from their captain, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty AFCON greetings, Samson.
Sporty warm AFCON greetings to you, Sunny. Many Nigerians are heartbroken following the Super Eagles' loss on Sunday to the Desert Foxes of Algeria in the second semifinals at the ongoing 32nd edition of the African Cup of Nations holding in Egypt. It was Riyad Mahrez's stoppage time free kick that beat Super Eagles' goalkeeper, Daniel Akpeyi, that gifted the Algeria a dramatic 2-1 victory over three-time champions the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Manchester City's Riyad Mahrez, who blasted in from 20 yards with the last kick of the match to send the Desert Foxes through to their first final since lifting the trophy for the only time in 1990, described the match as a difficult game.
It was a strong game, tough game. I guess a very good team. You know, both team was like looking each other, you know, it was difficult. We was 1-1 and then we had this free kick. I had the chance to score it and I did it, so we're very, very happy today.
Algeria led through a first half own goal by William Trost-Ekong before Nigeria equalized with an Odion Ighalo penalty awarded after a VAR review. Current AFCON 2019 top goal scorer Odion Ighalo, who got the equalizer for Nigeria, said losing the game at the last minute was a painful loss.
It was a difficult game, you know, and we're unlucky at the last minute, you know, because second half we really played well and we deserve more than what we got today, but this is football. Got free kick last minute and they scored, the game finished, so we have to learn from our mistake and we look forward to the third place game.
Algeria coach Jamel Belmadi saw his opponents as a difficult side to beat.
I believe that we knew that it will be a tough game because of the opponent, because of the quality of the opponent. We deserve at this time to score a goal. I think we could score more goals. Then the second half, we had, I think, a difficult moment for around 15 minutes. We were under pressure. I think we played too deep. Our block were too deep, not enough pressure on the opponents. Then this free kicker arrived, and of course with the quality of players like Riyad Mahrez, it's a massive chance of goal. Thanks God we made it. Alhamdulillah.
For his part, the coach of the Super Eagles, Gernot Rohr, said his team lost to a better side.
Algeria made a better first half than us. But we came back in the match in the second half. And unfortunately, we conceded this goal in the last minute. I think the players wanted to go to extra time, believing that perhaps Algeria would be tired and we could win this match in the extra time. It was a wonderful match. We lost it, so we are not happy. Congrats to the winners. They were the better team in the first half. We scored own goal, was unlucky, but we came back like all the time in this tournament. When there was something difficult against us, we could all the time react, and we did also today, coming back on a penalty, making a better second half, but a wonderful free kick from a genie of football made a difference. Last day we won in the last minute against South Africa. Today we lost this football.
Some of the Super Eagles players like goalkeeper Daniel Akpeyi, winger Samuel Chukwueze were disappointed over their loss to the Algerians.
I think so far it doesn't matter whatever anyone will say about the team. These players have actually tried. A lot of things have been knocked out of the tournament because the Nigerian team is still here. And we have a very young talent. So I'm very sure if this team can be given a chance, we'll be able to fix things together. So far we've done well.
We're disappointed because I think we didn't deserve it.
Of course, we all know we are disappointed, but
and we are professionals. We just have to try and get rid of it and fight back.
In the early kickoff, Senegal end a spot in the African Cup of Nations final for the second time with a Dylan Brown own goal, giving them a 1-0 victory over Tunisia on Sunday. Liverpool forward and Senegal star player Sadio Mane was instrumental in his team's victory.
Really, really difficult game. But yeah, we expect that because if you are in the tournament, you want to win it, so you have to expect this kind of game. But was not surprised for us. We just try to stay like a team. We don't give up. This kind of competition, you need to be a little bit lucky. And for sure, we've been a little bit lucky and we are very happy, very proud to win this game.
Tunisia thought they would have a chance to equalize when Idrissa Gueye handled in the box, but the Ethiopian referee rejected their penalty appeals after checking the incident on the VAR monitor. Both teams missed penalties in regular time, with Ferjani Sassi, the Tunisian culprit, before Henry Saviat failed for the Senegalese. Senegal will miss star defender Kalidou Koulibaly for the final against Algeria after he was yellow carded, but he remains optimistic that his teammates will turn in a positive result on Friday.
I prefer to win the cup. I hope that Senegal will win the cup because I think we deserve it. We have to keep on going to try to win this cup. After we will see the semi-final now and to see our opponent in the final.
Senegal last reached the title decider 17 years ago when current coach Liu Cisse captained the team beaten on penalties by Cameroon when Mali hosted. Algeria will now face Senegal in Friday's AFCON 2019 final at the Cairo International Stadium, whilst Nigeria will meet Tunisia in the third place playoff on Wednesday. South Africa's coach Pitso Mosimane and Nigeria's former Super Eagles captain Joseph Yobo shares their thoughts on the outcome of the semi-final matches on Sunday.
Super Eagles never played the way they always play. Mm-hmm. It's like they respected, they over-respected Algeria, and they never got into the number 17 of Algeria, who passed the ball a lot. And Benassia, I think, is a new star. Né? We should give him credit. The boy came up. He was playing as an 8.
What is disappointing for me is seeing the Nigerian team play the way they play, with the quality that we have. I was a bit surprised that sometimes we were just a bit too static. When a game is not going in your favor, when you're not having joy against your opponent, it's always good. They have the talent. They have the potential. I would have expected the players to interchange a lot more.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Sonny, for the Sony side of sports.
Thanks, Samson. We heard from Nigerian striker Odion Ighalo in Samson's report. Ighalo is the leading goal scorer at this 32nd edition of the Africa Cup of Nations. He has 4 goals, and he could possibly add to that total in the third place playoff match on Wednesday in Cairo. 4 players have 3 goals each. They are the Algerians Riyad Mahrez and Adam Unas, Sadio Mane of Senegal, and Cedric Bakambu of the Democratic Republic of Congo. After 50 matches at the Nations Cup in Egypt, there have been a total of 100 goals scored, an average of 2 per match. Total attendance is now at 861,713, an average of 17,234 fans per match. Turning to tennis, let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Simona Halep of Romania, who won the men's and women's singles titles at Wimbledon over the weekend. World number one Djokovic prevailed over Swiss star Roger Federer in the longest Wimbledon final in history, an epic 5-set match that lasted nearly 5 hours. Craig Gabriel reports from Wimbledon.
It was an incredible final that ended in a bit of an anticlimactic manner. There was a challenge and the point was replayed, and when the ball was served to Roger Federer, he framed it. It was a total shank. It all happened so fast and it took a while for Novak Djokovic to react. It was a match that was all about the mind, and he said it was the most demanding. When Novak finally celebrated, he raised his arms and then crouched down, plucked a few blades of the grass and ate them. They seemed to taste pretty good.
Better than ever. I don't know. It tasted amazing. I'm still digesting it.
This was an epic final where Djokovic had to save 2 championship points in the 16th game of the final set, and after 4 hours 57 minutes of the most grueling shot making, he prevailed 7-6, 1-6, 7-6, 4-6, 13-12. A bit of history there, because this marked the first time in a Wimbledon final that a tiebreak was played in the final set. Incredibly, it was Federer who won 14 more total points at the end. To see these two men managing to retrieve some of the shots that they did was quite superb, and their inner strength kept astounding observers. The atmosphere was electric, with the greatest majority backing Federer, who was trying to win a record-equaling ninth Wimbledon. They worked so hard to lift him, and they almost did, but this loss will hurt.
Yeah, I mean, similar to getting broken, you know, when serving for the match, you know. Take it on your chin, you move on, and you try to forget, and you try to take the good things out of this match, you know. It's just tons of it. Like similar to 08, maybe I will look back at it and think like, well, it's actually not that bad after all, you know. But for now, it hurts, and it should, you know. Like every loss hurts here at Wimbledon.
Djokovic said it was impossible to overlook or ignore the crowd's support of Federer, but said that he promised himself to not get sidetracked with it. The world number one's mental strength was remarkable, and he said that it was mentally the toughest match he's ever played.
Mentally most demanding match I was ever part of. I had most physically demanding match against Nadal in finals of Australia. They went almost 6 hours. But mentally this was different level because of everything. And I'm just obviously thrilled and overjoyed with emotions to be sitting here in front of you as the winner. I mean, it was one shot away from losing the match as well. I mean, this match had everything, and it could have gone easily his way.
This is Djokovic's fifth Wimbledon title from six finals, and he equals what Bjorn Borg did. And it's his 16th career major, which draws him closer to Nadal on 18 and Federer on 20. Federer was saying it's not something that concerns him. That's not why he plays the sport, to try and stay ahead. About 10 years ago, Tanya Halep had a dream, and she told her daughter that if she was going to do anything in tennis, she needed to be in the Wimbledon final in front of the Royal Box. On the most hallowed tennis court in the world, Tanya's daughter went a step further. In front of the Duchess of Cambridge and the Duchess of Sussex, Simona Halep became Wimbledon champion. She said she couldn't talk to her mother after because she was crying too much.
I can't describe how I feel winning Wimbledon. It's pretty special.
At the start of the tournament, Simona told the people in the locker room that she was very much wanting to win Wimbledon because then she would become a member of the All England Club for life. Well, she got that wish. In one of the more one-sided finals of recent years, Simo, as she was nicknamed by her former Australian coach Darren Cahill, who she praised and acknowledged with her heart, beat Serena Williams in 56 minutes, 6-2, 6-2, and in doing so, became the first Romanian to win Wimbledon. Williams said Halep was just playing too well.
I don't know. She just played great. So I don't think it's a surprise for anyone to play great against me. I just was trying different things, and today nothing really helped, but also made a lot of way too many errors for a lot of stuff to work.
Halep went on the attack from the first game when she broke Williams. She said her plan was not to worry about anything but herself and to just play the match and not get caught up with the person across the net. It worked perfectly. And when the last point was played, Simo said her legs went soft. She dropped to her knees and raised her arms. She was pretty much stunned and was beaming when the Venus Rosewater Salver was presented to her.
No, I'm very sure that was the best match of my life. Also on grass against her is never easy. So I'm really proud of my game of today and the whole tournament.
Wimbledon 2019 is drawn to a close. It's been quite a championship, one of massive upsets from the word go, but one that was highlighted by a popular women's champion and some extraordinary men's matches. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Wimbledon.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It was an epic Wimbledon men's final in the British capital, and it was an epic Cricket World Cup final between England and New Zealand at Lord's in London, giving British sports fans an incredible Sunday of sporting excitement. England was crowned Cricket World Cup champions after what many are calling the greatest and most dramatic match in cricket history. Here's how it played out. New Zealand made 241 for 8. England were all out for 241. The match was tied, which meant it went to a super over. England scored 15 in the super over. New Zealand scored 15 in their super over, which meant the super over was also tied. England won the World Cup on a technicality. that technicality specifically was that they hit more boundaries than New Zealand. On a great day of sports in London, by winning the Cricket World Cup, England became the first country to win the Cricket World Cup, the Rugby World Cup, and the Football World Cup. Their cup runneth over! And speaking of football, Prince Nesta joins us now with more football news. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Second half goals from Marcus Rashford and James Garner proved decisive, as Manchester United sealed a deserved 2-0 victory in their opening pre-season match against Perth Glory at the Optus Stadium in Australia. Solskjaer deployed two different 11s either side of halftime, with debutants Dan James and Aaron Bissaka handed their debuts. The two strikes sealed a confidence-boosting win for the Red Devils side, who had not tasted victory since beating West Ham 2-1 back on April 13th. Once away, Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku missed the clash, but is expected to be fit for Wednesday's encounter with Championship outfit Leeds United. Frank Lampard won his first game as Chelsea manager, as the Blues beat St. Patrick's Athletic 4-0 in a pre-season friendly match played in Dublin, while Liverpool also claimed a 3-1 victory at Bradford City.
Prince, I understand the Gunners of Arsenal are kicking off a U.S. tour in the western state of Colorado.
That's right, Sonny. The Gunners face Colorado Rapids today in their first match of their U.S. preseason tour at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. The two teams will be squaring off for the first time ever. Arsenal is also scheduled to face Bayern Munich, AS Roma and Real Madrid in the International Champions Cup at various locations around the United States. It should also be noted that Arsenal will play without their prolific captain, Laurent Koscielny, who refused to go on Arsenal's preseason tour of the United States. The 33-year-old is expected to face disciplinary proceedings, with his future at the club reportedly in doubt.
Prince, any notable moves recently in the European club football transfer window?
The summer transfer window has been quite busy. First, Liverpool striker of Kenyan descent Divock Origi committed his future at Liverpool after signing a new deal. The 24-year-old Belgium international contributed 5 of the club's most important goals in the 2018-2019 season. 2 in the Champions League semi-final win against Barcelona, late winners in the Premier League against Everton and Newcastle, in addition to his strike against Spurs in the UEFA Champions League final despite limited game time. Barcelona have also signed France forward Antoine Griezmann from La Liga rivals Atletico Madrid after paying his $135 million buyout clause. The 28-year-old World Cup winner signed a 5-year deal before being presented with the number 17 shirt in front of his friends and family. Griezmann is now the world's 6th most expensive signing behind Neymar, Kylian Mbappe, Philippe Coutinho, Joao Felix and Ousmane Dembele. The French international boast of winning the Europa League, the Spanish Super Cup and the UEFA Super Cup during his time at Atletico Madrid, and was the team top scorer in each of the last 5 seasons. Sonny, it's also worth noting that Griezmann is an NBA fanatic and his favorite player is actually Derrick Rose of Detroit Pistons. PSG are also set to sign French defender of Senegalese descent Abdou Diallo from Borussia Dortmund in a 5-year deal for $36 million. Diallo is quite an experienced player. He's so versatile, left-footed defender with the ability to play centrally and also at left back. He's gifted technically, has good strength and pace that should trouble any potential opponents. In my opinion, I would say he's a really great addition as far as the PSG side is concerned.
Prince, how about a shout out for Peter Crouch, the tall striker who's retiring after a successful career that included taking the robot dance back to the masses.
That's right, Sonny. He's ended his playing career aged 38 years after more than 21 years as a professional. Crouch played for a total of 11 clubs including Liverpool, Portsmouth, Aston Villa and Stoke City, and also earned 42 England caps. The 6'7" striker scored 108 goals. And get this, a Premier League record of 53 with his head in 468 top-flight appearances, and won the FA Cup in 2005-2006 season with Liverpool, and also played in the Champions League final in 2007. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to the Tour de France, we have an African cyclist making a name for himself in the world's greatest cycling race. Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel is here to give us more on this exciting story. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. We are right in the heart of the 2019 Tour de France, and action is heating up. While many of the race favorites are rounding into form as they contend for the top awards, Sunday's Stage 9 brought us an unexpected winner. With a multitude of top riders faltering in the difficult, hilly stage, South African Daryl Impé emerged from the pack to claim the stage win. Impé edged out Belgian Thijs Benoot in a two-man sprint to the finish to claim the stage victory. Impé broke down in tears after the finish line, in shock after arguably the crowning achievement of his fantastic cycling career. Stage 9 marked the first individual victory in the Tour de France in Impé's career, and his second victory overall. In 2013, he was part of the winning team in the team time trial stage. Impé was also the first African to claim a stage win this year, and only the second African stage winner in Tour de France history. Fellow South African Robbie Hunter was the other. He won a stage 12 years ago. Impé's cycling journey has had its ups and downs. In 2013, he burst onto the racing scene. Not only did he win the team time trial stage at the Tour de France, but he briefly led in the general classification race, allowing him to become the first South African rider ever to wear the coveted yellow jersey. But he dealt with some bumps in the road in later years. In 2014, a controversy emerged when Impé tested positive for a banned substance. He was later found innocent. In 2015, in the Tour de France, Impé was involved in a crash that forced him to drop out of the race. However, since then, Impé has continued his climb back to the top of cycling, culminating in his stage win yesterday. Currently, Impé is in contention for the mountains classification, and in turn, the polka dot jersey. He sits in ninth place in that category right now. Also in the running is Eritrean rider Nathaniel Berhane, who is in fifth place. In a more general Tour de France update, Frenchman Julian Alaphilippe has reclaimed the general classification lead. Colombian Egan Bernal took the lead today in the young rider classification. Slovakian cycling legend Peter Sagan leads the point classification. And Belgian Tim Wellens leads the mountains classification. And Spanish-based squad Movistar team is in front in the team classification race. In breaking news, young Belgian Wout van Aert won today's stage 10, a 217.5-kilometer-long flat stage dominated by the top sprinter. He's the 10th different stage winner so far, as we haven't yet had a repeat winner in this year's unpredictable race. Tomorrow will mark the first rest day of the Tour de France as the riders prepare for a grueling set of stages in the mountains. A lot has happened so far in the 2019 Tour de France, but plenty of excitement is still to come. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Finally, the sunny side of sports remembers Pernell Whitaker, one of the greatest boxers in history, who was killed Sunday night when he was hit by a car in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He was 55 years old, known as Sweet Pea. Whitaker, a southpaw, was renowned as one of the best defensive fighters in history. He was elected to the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2006, and he won world titles in four weight classes. Sweet Pea was the undisputed lightweight world champion, and he also won titles at junior welterweight, welterweight, and junior middleweight. Pernell Whitaker, great boxing champion, dead at the age of 55. And that wraps up the July 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, after months of violent protests in Sudan, a preliminary power-sharing agreement has been negotiated between the Forces for Democratic Change and the Transitional Military Council. Sudan in transition on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minutes newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
July 20th marks the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, and the milestone will be celebrated throughout the United States. Festivities here in the U.S. capital city include a number of public events being led by the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. The museum's Apollo 11 moon landing celebration will feature a life-sized projection of an Apollo Saturn V rocket on the east face of the iconic Washington Monument each night from July 16th through the 18th. On July 19th and 20th, the Smithsonian, through a partnership with the U.S. Department of the Interior and 59 Productions, will present Apollo 50, Go for the Moon. This multimedia show will recreate the launch of Apollo 11 and tell the story of the first moon landing with imagery projected on the Washington Monument and other nearby supporting screens here in Washington, D.C. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is VOA News. I'm Faith Lapidus.